Smart driving, driven by King Price Insurance. It is time for us to check in with PigSpotter Smart Driving with Cliff Pinto. That is PigSpotter. You can find him on social media. And today we're also going to meet Oliver Wright. We're going to talk a little bit about all the things that can happen on the road that you probably have questions about. Know your rights when you're pulled over in a roadblock, what the situation is with fines after a crash, when you're involved in a hit and run, involved in hijacking. And if you think you can say that you're in the know with road safety, good for you. Most of us actually don't know the first thing. We're kicking off the next episode. This is episode 3 of Smart Driving with PigSpotter, and it's a 4-part series that will focus on road safety, driver's rights, practical information, and consumer advice. How are you, PigSpotter?
Very well, and yourself, Gareth?
Nice to see you, dude.
You too, man. Thank
good.
You.
I got some really interesting feedback from people after last week that they found it really helpful to know that if, for example, you're trying to get away from a hijacker and you bump and bash your car and you do some serious damage to it in the process of trying to get away, that most insurance companies understand that the deal is there that they will pay. Awesome. Certainly King Price, who bring you this feature, have said that they are absolutely aware of the fact that people's safety and their personal protection of their own integrity and their bodily integrity and making sure that they don't get hijacked. This is paramount.
Absolutely.
And they'll pay out.
And with or without video confirmation as well, which was
that's very interesting.
Massive point to me.
So I think a lot of people benefited from that. This morning we've got Oliver Wright here. Oliver is the CEO of the South African Private Ambulance and Emergency Services Association. So, Oliver, how are you, dude?
Morning. Morning. Nice well, thanks. You. Yes, and you.
It's not an easy job that you have.
Not an easy job for a number of people that are involved as first responders, whether they be paramedics, policemen or women, fire department employees. It's a tough space to be in.
First responders. These are the people who have to arrive on the scene and make sense of it and make sure that everything goes as well as possible from there on in.
Well, we hope so, yes. First responders being a nice all-encompassing phrase for anybody that's involved in the emergency services.
We've also got Wynand van Vieren here from King Price, and nice to see you, Wynand. So you're going to give us some info and some input as well from the point of view of, you know, what happens in many of these situations with insurance.
Yes.
So, where do we begin, Cliff? What do you want to ask first and foremost?
Well, obviously, I think from the very first perspective, Mr. Oliver, from the ambulance industry perspective, if someone is injured in like a car crash, what's the very first thing that they should do?
We always look at safety. So if you are coming across a motor vehicle accident or you yourself are involved in a motor vehicle accident, one of the most important things to do is to make sure that there's not what we refer to as a secondary accident. So you want to ensure that other road users are aware that there's an accident ahead of you. So every car these days has to be fitted with a warning triangle. Mm-hmm. Put your warning triangle out. Put it at least 100 meters before the accident so that people have time to slow down. Rope in bystanders to help you. Get someone to walk 500 meters, a kilometer up the road if you're on the highway. Mm-hmm. Flag down traffic. Just so that you're not injured while you are waiting for emergency services to arrive. Or if there are people that are injured, that their injuries are not made any worse by being involved in a secondary accident.
Yes, obviously, also you can't exactly move the patient who's stuck inside a car unless obviously the car's going to explode or something.
Right. So there's the common misconception about the infamous explosion, and unfortunately something that's really perpetuated by Hollywood more than anything else. Yeah. Majority of cars these days are extremely safe. I personally have never seen a vehicle explode. While in limited instances, some vehicles do catch fire after an accident, they definitely don't explode. Okay. And you'd know if a vehicle was catching fire because there would be flames.
Sure.
So unless you see flames, don't move anyone.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, and also obviously these things are all mostly up to the first person who arrives there who knows what they're doing in terms of the category of first responders. Because most people panic in a situation like this. They're not thinking sensibly. But when you talk about moving, putting the triangle out and all that stuff, what I've found is mostly people love an accident, right? This is something macabre and sick about humanity. But even on the opposite side of the highway, if there's an accident on the other side that you're not involved with, people slow down, which is good.
Rubbernecking.
But they slow down for whatever sick reason they might actually be concerned.
Sadists.
Or they might just want to watch a bit of a show.
I don't know. It's human nature, and it's even beyond human nature.
Curiosity.
You wouldn't see
a herd of elephants walking past another herd where there was a dead elephant and not slowing down or going to mourn with them or...
For whatever reason, I think people mostly are conscientious about, you know, slowing down where there's an accident, paying attention to the traffic around them. Is that a fair assessment or is that completely wrong?
You know...
I mean, people put on their hazard lights. A lot of people pull over. If you have any kind of medical training, should you stop and help?
If you believe that there's no one rendering aid and you think that you can help, then yes. It's worth stopping and at least asking the question. If there is already someone rendering aid and you don't feel that you're needed, then move along, because that sort of congestion does lead to a lot more confusion. Mm-hmm. There's already two or three cars that have been involved in the accident that are in the roadway. Now you're going to stop your car. Yeah. You're going to cause more congestion. And unfortunately, you hit the nail on the head earlier. It is very macabre, very odd sense of voyeurism, if you ask me. 10 years ago, we saw a lot of people stopping and asking to help. But with the quality of cameras that go into phones these days, it literally would blow your mind. While you are treating a patient, you stop and look up, and there will literally be 6, 7, 8 people all standing around with their cell phones out.
Filming it.
And literally filming another person dying, and it is the sickest thing ever and the most frustrating thing ever to see.
These people need Netflix.
Yeah.
Because they don't. Obviously their own lives are so boring and so awful that they're watching other people's real-life drama and creating content. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's stuff that
you guys must get very annoyed.
It's extremely frustrating, you know. If there's not personal belongings being stolen on the scene, there's someone else taking photos or making a video recording of what's happening. It's not even. It goes beyond Netflix. It's stuff that you would expect to see on the dark web. It's very disturbing. Right. Yeah. a very sad indication of society's what society considers normal these days.
So let's just talk about what the South African Private Ambulance and Emergency Services Association is. It's a non-profit member organization, right?
That's correct. So essentially what we are is we are a member organization, a voluntary member organization for ambulance services that meet certain standards and criteria within the industry. So for somebody who is looking to see if an ambulance service is reputable or not, typically whether it be in the ambulance industry or a number of other industries, you would look for a service provider that is a member of a quality body within that industry, and that's what we do within the ambulance space.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've got another question here for you. If you are involved in a car crash, right, and you do not have medical aid and you're badly injured, can ambulance service company refuse to assist you?
As a short answer, no. If the ambulance service is actually on scene, their staff have arrived and they are available to immediately assist you. According to the National Health Act, no person may be denied treatment in an emergency medical situation, regardless of their circumstances, whether it be economic, social, whatever the case is, no person may be denied treatment. So if an ambulance service is on scene and if they have staff available to assist you, if you are suffering from some sort of life or limb threatening situation, they must by law assist you.
Okay, 100%.
Vaynan, can I ask you something? Because with what you guys do in insurance and obviously having all these clients, you must have access to a huge amount of information and data around accidents, what happens and how things can go wrong. What advice would you give to people? Because if we just have a snapshot of what we should be thinking about, what we should be doing in the case of an accident, whether or not someone's injured, it might help us to, in that moment of stress and panic, figure out what important points we have to cover in order to get out of this with a minimum of trouble.
Yeah. So Gareth, you know, what I always focus on is when you get the opportunity to give advice is, you know, how to avoid first getting into that circumstances. And if we go and look at what's actually causing these accidents and what is actually the threat for us on the road, it's the normal thing that you have to do to make sure that your car is first in a roadworthy condition.
Right.
Now, I don't know you guys now, but I must admit this morning, I don't check my tires every time before I get into the car. No. You know, I do it if I go on a long trip with the kids in the car.
Sure.
Then I stick my hand in there and I feel if there's any damage to the tire. And I actually found on the inside a cut on a tire before, which was a hell of a surprise for me.
Sure.
You know, so do we ever do things like that? How often do you have your tires checked? You know, it's raining like it did now the previous few days. How many accidents are caused by vehicles aquaplaning?
Yep.
Because those tires are just not in a roadworthy condition anymore. So what do we do up front to make sure, you know, that you can avoid things like this?
And then, of course, people have got to just use their brains. It's like cell phones.
Oh.
I wonder how many accidents, you must know, how many accidents are caused just by people looking at WhatsApp or watching a YouTube video while they're driving. I've seen people driving fast on the highway. And you go past them and you look and they've got their screen in front of their eyes.
So yeah. we were lately on this thing with getting vehicles a cell phone free zone.
Yeah.
Because it was the International Transport Forum. Mm-hmm. In 2017, their annual report reported on our high statistics, which is not a surprise for us on accidents. But then if you look at, they then said, okay, more or less 25% of those accidents are caused by cell phones. And I thought for myself, okay, but how accurate can that be? So someone else in the country made use of an application that shows afterwards on that moment of impact was the activity on the phone. They came out to 25%. So if you just think about it, in 2017 already, accidents costed the country 143 billion rand. And 25% of that, because we do. You were talking about how stupid we can be on the scene of an accident. Mm. How stupid are you
in your car
to look, to send a WhatsApp to people what's going on there? And I mean, all of us have done it in the past. If we can get rid of that kind of thing, you know, we can already save such a lot of lives.
So, Oliver, when people are in an accident, they immediately think, oh my God, you know, medical aid, am I covered? Are these people going to help me? You've already said you can't deny assistance to someone. But there are obviously also people have to take precautions. People have to make sure that they are covered for certain things. Is there any general and broad advice you can give to people so that if they end up in this situation, they can at least have peace of mind that they're not going to be shunted around and left for dead and sent off to a hospital that they don't necessarily want to end up in?
Certainly. There's a couple of things. Number one, I'd say always try to make yourself aware of who's available in your area. If you live in a specific city, if you live in a specific suburb, which ambulance service do you see on a regular basis driving around your area? That's probably somebody that has a base or an operation in your suburb. Make sure that the telephone number for that ambulance service is on your phone and you know where to find it in the event of an emergency. We always try to drum home that you should always be prepared. And unfortunately, a lot of people are very lax with this sort of thing. They just leave it till the last minute, mm-hmm. and then it's I'm going to phone 112 and just hope that whichever service provider I get put through to is decent. Mm-hmm. Make yourself aware. If your house catches fire, how many people in this room right now would have the telephone number for the local fire department on their phone? Very, very few. I have it. Purely because need to phone the fire and rescue services at motor vehicle accidents, but a lot of people don't have those numbers available to them. So it's all about being prepared at the end of the day. And then secondly, try and make sure that you do have some sort of insurance cover in place. Traditionally, what was known as an insurance or a hospital insurance product, those types of products are now moving across to what is being referred to as a low-cost benefit medical aid scheme. Mm-hmm. That's a transition that's currently in place, specifically because there were laws and regulations that governed how medical aids operated, but not how medical insurance policies operated, which meant that they could exclude a lot more and people got less cover than they were expecting. But even if you go for a very basic hospital cover option on a medical aid scheme that is more affordable for your families, please, please try and make sure that you're prepared, because you never realize how bad a lot of hospitals are and a lot of people, until they see it for themselves, simply would not believe
how poorly a lot of our hospitals operate. And if you don't have medical aid cover, you're not getting a private hospital. Unfortunately, the ambulance service will treat you on scene regardless of whether you have medical aid or not. But they will then take you to the closest appropriate hospital. And if you're not on medical aid, you're going to go to a government hospital. And a lot of those facilities are simply way overburdened. So you're going to wait. And when you wait in an emergency situation, it's detrimental to your health. It really is amazing how many times we go to an accident scene and someone's driving a brand new VW Golf GTI or a very nice BMW 3 Series, but the car's not insured and they have no medical aid, and it's all about social perception. But when the brown stuff hits the fan, you need some sort of cover behind you.
Look, touching on that as well, like obviously some specific medical aids, they govern which ambulance services you are able or you're allowed to use to actually be transported to specific hospitals. I mean, do you think that people should actually contact their medical aid and find out all that information and keep those specific ambulance services on their phone?
Absolutely. So we are seeing a shift. Mm. Historically, some medical aid schemes would contract with only one ambulance service. That obviously automatically means that the scheme members on that specific medical aid have a very limited choice in which ambulance service to use. Mm. If they don't have an ambulance in your area when you're having an emergency, you're in trouble. So some of the better medical aid schemes, or a lot of the better medical aid schemes in South Africa, are now moving towards what we refer to as an open network of ambulance service providers, okay, which means there's a large variety of ambulance service providers, yeah, available. If you phone the emergency medical number for your medical aid scheme, they will dispatch the closest ambulance service provider to you. But then again, there are still, I'd say, quite a few medical aids that are putting cost before the priority of their members' health. Mm-hmm. They are literally going for the cheapest ambulance service quote on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah.
They're limiting their pool of ambulance service providers to maybe one or two ambulance service providers across the country. And that means that if you're a member on one of those schemes, there's a good chance you're going to wait anywhere from half an hour to 2 hours for a private ambulance to arrive.
Crazy.
And to someone who's paying
2 hours,
for,
you're dead.
Absolutely. For someone who's expecting private healthcare and paying for private healthcare cover, it's absolutely unacceptable. So it is worth looking into what sort of cover your medical scheme offers you, whether they're giving you some sort of comprehensive cover for all disciplines of medical services. And if they're not, you need to start asking your scheme and sending them an email or making a telephone call and saying, listen guys, we can see that something's off here. Why are you limiting us to one ambulance service? What's going on in the background?
Mm-hmm. Gareth, another thing that's equally important for me is make sure that your short-term insurance include this medical assistance on, yes, the scene of an accident,
right,
because that's not normally just included. And you know, you're talking about fire brigade costs. Do you know it can be hundreds of thousands if your house is on fire to get those guys out? Is that included in your short-term insurance? So if it's not, then make another few calls today and find out, you know. We included, King Price included for our clients, and if it's not, it can lead to big costs.
Yeah, I reckon.
Hadn't thought of that.
Sure. It's bad enough your house is burning down and you don't know that
you got a big ass bill to cover.
Yeah. Terrible.
Another question, Oliver. Obviously some of us who are in the know, we kind of know that some ambulance services and some companies are, you know, obviously working hand in hand with some other questionable services. As a patient, are you able to refuse for a specific ambulance service to give you cover?
Absolutely. Not only ambulance services, yeah, but we refer to what's known in South Africa as the Patient's Rights Charter. And one of the conditions in the Patient's Rights Charter is that any patient, has a right to choose their own healthcare provider. Mm. So that means you get to choose which doctor you want to see, you get to choose which hospital you want to go to, you get to choose which ambulance service assists you at a scene. So if you are at an accident and three or four different ambulance services arrive and perhaps you feel a bit overwhelmed, you're not sure what to do, but you recognize one ambulance service and according to your knowledge or what you've heard, that specific ambulance service is a better ambulance service, but perhaps the paramedics are standing in the background because another ambulance service that you're not familiar with is attending to you, sometimes very well, other times unfortunately not so well. Mm. If you don't feel confident in the care that you're receiving, you have the right to tell those paramedics that are assisting you at the time, listen, I'm sorry, I'm not comfortable with the care that I'm receiving. please step aside. I want the paramedics that are standing in the back there, or the paramedics from that ambulance service over there. Those are the gents or ladies and gents that I want to assist me today.
Yeah, Leanne would be particular like that. She would ask for particular
paramedics. Yeah, well,
good looking guy.
Maybe. No, actually, just somebody who knows what they're doing would be great at this point.
Mm. Well, obviously, I mean, yeah, like you say, you've got to make the best of a bad situation, I suppose.
Sure. Look, okay, obviously, you were a paramedic back in the day, once upon a time. What's one of the most dodgy situations you've come across?
Jeez, paramedics have a tough time, man.
Yeah,
paramedics have a different psychology,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you have to learn to put up emotional boundaries to a certain extent. Otherwise, you're just going to get completely overwhelmed. Dodgy, a couple of examples. I think majority of the guys, one of the most commonly heard complaints is that it's particularly difficult to deal with any sort of traumatic scene where kids are involved. Mm-hmm. I think that always tugs at the heartstrings, unfortunately. Sure. No one expects a life to be taken at a very young age, so it's always unexpected for us. Then in South Africa, I think one of the things that we discussed earlier, just the lack of empathy that people show. You know, you'll arrive at a taxi accident and there can be anywhere up to 17, 18 people involved in or injured in a taxi accident if that vehicle is overloaded. The issue there is that you arrive as the first ambulance with a crew of two people, and you now need to start prioritizing which of these 18 patients are going to get care until more ambulances arrive.
Sure.
Now, it would be lovely if there were bystanders who could come and help you, and you could give them a pair of gloves and they could at least hold a bandage in place or hold someone's hand and give them a bit of reassurance or make sure that other people are not stealing people's personal belongings from the scene. Exactly. Yeah. Everybody is satisfying their own need for gratification rather than actually being empathetic and helping their fellow man. And I think from a social concern point of view, that's one of the things that irritates me the most, is just this complete lack of any empathy or care for our fellow man these days.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness there are people like you out there doing this stuff. And thank you very much for joining us this morning. So that's Oliver Wright, the CEO of the South African Private Ambulance and Emergency Services Association. Also to Pig Spotter, Cliff Pinto, and Vaynon van Vieren from King Price. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Very, very good. Awesome. There will be one more episode of this terrific new feature, which I think is helping a lot of people to understand what exactly you should and shouldn't know, what you should and shouldn't do on the road, because we're all such geniuses until it happens to us, right?
Yeah.
So this is where you can fill yourself
being prepared in. Is better.
There we go. Smart driving with Pig Spotter this morning. CliffCentral.com. It's brought to you by King Price Insurance.